Bibles are open to Isaiah chapter 30. You can keep them open there. We'll be looking at this passage here in just a few minutes. Certainly good that we can be together this morning. Appreciate all who are here. Those visiting, again, we say we appreciate very much your presence. Those of us who worship here regularly, it's good to see each one. I'm glad that we're able to be here. I want to say something about Randy and Kathy Mitchell. I've known Randy and Kathy for a long, long, long time. Probably in the mid to later 80s when we were at Lacey Spring, Randy's mother and daddy began worshiping at Lacey Spring and got to know Randy, and they have two sons and spent several times in their home when they lived in Richlands, Virginia during meetings. And they have a son, Andy, who is a preacher of the gospel in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Appreciate them. And let's remember Kathy's mother as she's being diagnosed with colon cancer. And they said they'd be finding out this week, meeting with the doctor tomorrow to find out what options there might be. And so let's continue to pray for them and others as well. I want to talk this morning about three different attitudes toward the Word of God. When you preach the gospel, and as you read throughout God's Word and truth is taught, you have different reactions. You have different attitudes. And where we will spend eternity very well depends on our attitude when we're in a service like this. When someone stands before us and opens the book, and we're in this audience, how we listen, how we respond, what our attitude is toward what is being said, will have a great deal to do with where we will spend eternity. And so as we consider three different attitudes that we read in God's Word concerning the preaching of truth, I want each of us to be examining ourselves and be asking ourselves, is this my attitude? Or is this my, what attitude do I have at all times when the gospel is preached? I want to begin first by looking at Isaiah chapter 30, and I want to read the verses that Pete read and then see the attitude expressed here. Verse 8, now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. The first of these three attitudes that I want us to notice, and I think we can say here in Isaiah chapter 30, what is pictured is people hearing God's Word and just simply saying, do not tell us the truth. We don't want to hear it. Prophesy to us smooth things. Tell us the things that we want to hear. Don't talk about this Holy One of Israel anymore. That same attitude, we read in 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to begin with verse 1. And during this particular time, we have Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and Ahab, the king of Israel. And they're talking about going to battle in Ramoth, against Ramoth in Gilead. And they call for Micaiah, who is a prophet of God. But let's just read, beginning with verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 22. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And Ahab is that king. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours? But we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria. So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? And so they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, he kind of smelled a rat's what he smelled. Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. But the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. And so Micaiah is brought, but here is what Ahab is saying. He's saying, I don't want to listen to him. I've had my prophets in here. They're saying, you go and you fight. Jehoshaphat says, here's the key. Is there a prophet of the Lord? And Ahab's response says, well, I hate him. He prophesies evil things. In essence, he doesn't tell me the things that I want to hear. Drop down to verse 13. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And so here, this messenger goes to Micaiah and he says, why don't you just say what the other people have said? That's what the king wants to hear. Speak words of encouragement to him. In essence, what he's saying is, don't tell him the truth. You tell him what he wants to hear. You think that problem might exist in 2017? People really not wanting to hear the truth? You know, there's no question it's a problem. Let me just raise this question. Why would anyone not want you to preach the truth? Keep in mind, it's the truth that sets us free. God's Word is truth. We're going to be judged by the words written in the books. Truth. Why would anyone not want you to preach the truth? Well, I could suggest some reasons. Some are ashamed of the truth. They're just unwilling. They're just ashamed. I've had this happen on one occasion. I've heard it happening with other men. But maybe here is someone who is visiting. A neighbor that someone has brought to them, and somebody comes to you and says, you know, I've got this neighbor here with me and I want you to kind of be easy. I'm not really sure what that means, kind of be easy. Don't say anything that might be controversial. Don't preach one of those doctrine sermons. Because people don't want to lose their friendship with their neighbors, and really they're ashamed of what the gospel says. Some don't want the gospel taught because of guilt. A person is living a life of sin. They know it. And they intend to continue living just exactly the way they're living. And they don't want to feel uncomfortable about how they're living. Some don't want the truth taught because of hypocrisy. They're just doing everything they can to appear righteous before men. And they're afraid that somebody someday is going to come along and break that shell and expose them for who they really are. And so the thinking is, prophesy to us smooth things. Tell us things that we want to hear. Or preach to that fellow over there. Or preach to that fellow over there. Don't tell us the truth. How do people say, "Don't tell me the truth"? Well, sometimes it's verbally. Sometimes somebody might just say, "I don't want to hear it." Matter of fact, I can vividly remember visiting an older gentleman that I had a good rapport with. He was not a Christian, and we were talking about the Bible, and he said something, and I said, "Well, let me just go get my Bible, and let's just read what the..." He says, "I don't want to hear that." Some people say it by their actions. "Well, I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do what I want to do." Some people say it by lack of action. They just don't do anything. Why would anyone not obey the truth? If it is, and it is, the truth sets us free, why would anybody not want to obey the truth? Well, it could be it's just simply a lack of respect for God. And you know, I think we're there, and I'm not saying this is the only society, but so many people in the world today, they just don't care what God says. And what I know is that we can so easily be influenced by that, that where we would never say we don't respect God, but we just do what we want to anyway. It could be a lack of faith. It might be that somebody doesn't understand what the Bible teaches, and thus they don't obey it. So it might be just a lack of not knowing. It might be because they fear what others might say or do. I know that is a possibility. In John chapter 9, after Jesus healed the blind man, the man who was born blind, in verse 22, his parents were questioned as to who did this, who was able to do this, and here's what they said. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogues. They were afraid of what was going to happen to them. And I think of the warning in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and I'm just going to read the first part. A lot of times we read, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is right. But the first thing that is said is, the cowardly shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We must not be ashamed or afraid of what God's Word teaches. Whatever the reasons are. Sometimes men simply do not want the truth taught. Let me raise this question and we'll let the Bible answer it. What ought to be the attitude of a person if somehow pressure is put on him not to preach the truth? What should a person do in that situation? I want us to go back to Isaiah and I want us to look at verse 12. And then I want us to go to 1 Kings chapter 22 and I want us to look at verse 14. And here is what is said. When they came and said, "Don't tell us anymore about this Holy One of Israel," in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 12, here is the response. "Therefore says, thus says the Holy One of Israel." The response was, or the question, or the statement was, "Don't tell us the truth. Don't talk to us about this Holy One of Israel." Isaiah says, "Here's what the Holy One of Israel says." There's the correct response. Or in 1 Kings chapter 22 and in verse 14, what was Micaiah's response? Just Don't tell us what the Lord said. Micaiah responds and he says, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that will I speak. There's the answer. That's what our attitude must be. And I think of Paul's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Paul says to him, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. So here is Timothy, and he says to Paul, Paul, what if people are not listening? Paul says, you preach the word. What if it's not in season? You preach the word. What if they want to hear things that tickle their ears? You preach the word. And that has to be our attitude toward God's word when somebody says, don't tell us the truth. Let's look at a second attitude. And this one is found in Ezekiel chapter 33. I want to read verses 30 through 32. Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning with verse 30. As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses, and they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. The second attitude that we see here in Ezekiel chapter 33, and I'm just going to put it this way. Praise the preacher, but don't do what he says. Don't obey his teachings. I want to go back and I want us to look at what they're saying. The children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another. And here's what they're saying. Please come and hear what the Lord is. Hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Here they're talking to their neighbors and their friends and saying, come and hear. Hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And so they come. They sit down. They hear the words. But they do not do it. With their mouth they show much love. Their hearts pursue their own gain. And notice what they're saying. To them, you're a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. I don't know that I've ever met a preacher of the gospel who has not experienced something like this somewhere along the line. People come out and they'll say, well, you know, that was a really good lesson. I appreciate. And then they just go and do whatever they want to do. They don't pay any attention to what God's word is being said through the person who's speaking. I remember a situation, an instance, when I was in a gospel meeting at a particular place. And that Sunday we talked about Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. As to how God is to come first in our life, we're to seek Him first. We're to put Him above everything else. And I even mentioned that, you know, during the week, it was during a school week, and, you know, children have homework, but that's not more important than putting God first. And a lot of times there are activities that go on through the week at nights, but those are not more important, whether it's PTA, whether it's a ball game. That's not more important than God. We put God first. And I remember almost to the person, some people come, you know, I agree with that. That is right. That's what we need to do. And then people are not there, and you're trying to find out why, and they're at this activity or they're at that activity. Friday night rolls around, and we don't have meetings anymore on Friday night, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but Friday night rolls around, and we used to have meetings through Friday night, and people not there, and they're at the ball game. And people say, you know, that I think that's right. Let me tell you what, and I had a fellow do this with me, and I appreciate it. It would be far better for somebody to come out and just say, you know, Tim, I don't agree with that. And all I would ask you to do would be to you tell me what your understanding is. I'll be happy to sit and listen and study with you. But I just don't agree with that. Then people come out and say, well, you know, I think that's right. And then just do whatever you want to do. That was the case here. And so I know that that is an attitude that can be had toward the truth. Now, I'm glad there's one other attitude that we're going to talk about. And this is the right attitude. The third attitude we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul, as he's writing, he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." The third attitude is, it is the Word of God. And that is the correct attitude. And inferred within that verse are at least five different wonderful qualities that we need to have. One is, inferred within that verse, is faith. It was Paul who spoke the words, but they recognized that the words Paul was speaking were not the words of men. They were the words of Almighty God. And they believed. And they were exactly right. When anyone stands up here and opens God's Word and reads it, we need to understand it's not the words of men. It is the Word of God. Every once in a while I hear somebody say they'll have a problem and they'll say, well, I just wish God would appear to me and tell me what to do. And my answer is, He already has. He tells us, He has told us what we're to do in every situation. A second quality I see in that verse is reverence. You don't recognize teaching as being not the Word of men, as it is in truth the Word of God, without reverence. On several occasions, God spoke directly out of heaven. One is in Exodus chapter 19. He speaks to the children of Israel. Beginning with verse 16, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought up the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice." And here is God, amidst all of that quaking and thundering and lightning and smoking, and already the people are trembling, and God spoke. You remember what their attitude was when God spoke? Chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 18. "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" The God spoke. They heard God speak. And what you see is reverence. You see fear. And I've often thought this as God was speaking. I wonder if there was a sleeper in the cloud, or in the crowd. I bet nobody was sleeping when God spoke. There's another incident I think of in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus goes up into the mountain and He's transfigured, and there's Peter and James and John who go up with Him. Moses and Elijah appear. And Peter says in verse 4 to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If You wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for You, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He's going to recognize them all. They were great men. Verse 5 says, "While He was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him.'" God from heaven spoke. And we see the attitude in verse 6 of the disciples. When they heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Again, there was reverence. There was fear. God spoke. They fell on their faces. Can you imagine when God spoke out of heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear You Him." One of the disciples looking up and say, "Why, He's not your son." You just can't imagine that, can you? God was the one who was speaking. And you don't argue with God. When God speaks, what you do is you listen. You just accept it. Reverence demands that you accept what God says. And yet people pick up this book and they read it, and they come across something that they don't particularly like. They won't accept it. This is God speaking. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35, where Paul writes and he says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for women to speak in church." People read that and say, "Well, we don't care. We're going to have our women preachers. We're going to have our women leading prayers in the assembly." Do they realize God spoke? Should we not have the same reverence and fear when we're reading God's Word? And we never, never argue with it. A third quality that I see in that verse is the quality of humility. Faith, reverence, humility. This was not the word of men. This was the Word of God. So what that means is this. We just must simply surrender whatever thinking we have in any particular situation and let God speak. And listen. And then respond appropriately to it. Because it is the Word of God. Mentioned a little bit in our Bible class this morning. You know, in this age in which we live, just in my lifetime, I think of all the tremendous technological advances that man has made, that's taken place in our country and in the world. You just hardly believe it. I mean, take a heart out of somebody and take somebody else's heart and put in somebody's body. And not just a heart transplant, just about almost anything imaginable that can be taken out of a body, something else can be put in. And very often, it works. And it works extremely well. I think about putting a man on the moon. Dear brother, he's no longer living. He just didn't believe man went to the moon. He just didn't believe it. You know, I can't hardly believe that you take these big old, I don't know how many ton aircrafts, and they speed down the runway, and then all of a sudden they just, and they stay up there and just fly for miles. Or you take, it amazed me with just the telephone that you used to hang up on your wall, and you'd pick it up and you could dial some numbers and you could talk to somebody just about anywhere. And now you carry them around in your pocket and they don't even have anything connecting it because of all these satellites, and you're able to punch in something or punch in a message and send it to somebody. All of the technological advances and what happens because of that, and things continue to be discovered and to be discovered and to be discovered. But we come to spiritual things, and you know what? Man can't figure that out on his own. And what he has to do is just say, I don't know. And he has to turn to God's Word to find out. And that's rather hard in this 21st century for a lot of people to do that because of pride. What I see in these people here at Thessalonica, not only is faith, not only is reverence, but it's humility. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you have heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. A fourth quality that I see is obedience. They were obedient to what they heard. In fact, you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me just turn in my Bible. I've got that somewhere on the screen, but it's not coming up next. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. And the Bible says, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." They had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And then the final quality that I see is anticipation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, I just read verse 9. "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." But listen to verse 10. "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." There was hope. There was anticipation. They believed it. They believed what was being spoken was the Word of God. And they could look forward to eternal life. What attitude characterizes you? Characterizes me. You know, I would like to think that nobody has the attitude, "Don't tell me the truth." But when we ignore what God says, that's really what we're saying is, I don't want to hear the truth. I'm not going to do that. whoever it is, again, that stands up here and speaks God's word, what we need to do is we need to listen. Our attitude must be, it is, in truth, the Word of God. And with reverence and humility and faith, being obedient to what it says, looking forward to eternal life. And if we have that kind of attitude, then the preaching of the gospel will have, it'll be powerful in our lives. And it'll change us. And it'll make us the kind of people that God wants us to be. I'm going to sing the song that has been announced. Whatever my attitude may have been in the past, what I need to do is to make sure that my attitude from this point forward is always, when I look at the Bible, is to understand this is the Word of God. Just as surely as if He spoke it and I heard it verbally, He spoke it. And we have it recorded so that we can read it and we can understand. And I'm so thankful to God that we have His Word so that we can be obedient to it. We're going to stand and sing. If someone needs to render obedience to the Lord in any way, please do that as we stand and sing.